Welcome, gentlemen. I know today's call will probably be a little more quiet because most of our team, and Ben and Gavin and the rest of the guys are in Spain in Marbella on the Warrior Monk Retreat. And so Coach Steve's going to lead tonight's call. And if you guys need anything, just message me on Telegram.
Thanks, Sarah. Hey guys, we're gonna do some wins as before, just so if anybody else pops in, we can kind of wait for them to trickle in. Anybody at all who's had a great week or wants to share anything, just pop in there. Just while we're waiting for any stragglers. Jay, I haven't seen. No, you were on the call last week, weren't you, Jay?
Yeah, I was. I'm just sorry, I'm at my kid's soccer trial right now, so it's going to be hard to talk.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I saw your camera's off, so I decided to pick on
Yeah, thanks. I mean, if you want to see the chaos, I'll show you the chaos, but
Oh, there you go. Beautiful.
so yeah.
Enjoy it, man. Enjoy it.
Well,
I'm not sure if you saw my Instagram the other day, Jay. My youngest got he got his first recognition in jiu-jitsu. He got his first stripe, and he was just absolutely grinning ear to ear. It was awesome.
yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, this is returning, so it shouldn't be as bad, but they still got to try out every year, so.
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, if nobody's gonna voluntold themselves, I'm gonna do it for you. Eric, I've never met you, bud. So why don't you unmute yourself and just tell me who your coach is and any strides you've made in your own training lately?
Hey, nice to meet you. My coach is Andrew. And been working with him for about a year.
Cool.
So yeah, overall great. Just besides trying to be healthier and stronger, just overcoming. I guess I would say if I had a weakness, it would be recovery. I usually push myself and to the point where I don't recover well. So he's kind of helping me down that road. And actually had a really good week this week. Wasn't feeling so hot last week, but feeling better this week. And actually am flying down to Vegas tomorrow, and I get to meet Andrew in person and train with him for a day. So I'm pretty stoked on that.
That's awesome. Where are you guys training? There's probably some amazing gyms out there. Isn't Dragon's Den out there or Dragon's Lair?
That's not the one we're tra training at the, I think it's called the Kilo Club.
Okay. I've heard of
It
that
looks
one.
pretty cool online. I've never been, so.
Spoiled. I went down to see an old friend, a friend. He was an old client of MI's as well. And we're probably gonna be lifelong friends now. And he invited me down to his place in DC. And such cool gyms are there. Again, I'm in New Brunswick, Canada, right? So it's a little pothole of a city. And we're actually getting a big we had one open up, FX Fitness FX in Halifax, which is not far, but it's not a quick drive either. And then we have one that's coming into the Moncton, and it's apparently like a gigantic facility they're putting in here too. So, but up until then, like in Canada, you're not going to find much. So if you like, when I went to the States and I saw these different plates, like you can drive down the street and you see a boutique gym and they have all these different pieces of equipment and you just get spoiled and you have fun. It's like a playground.
Yeah, there's I'm in Spokane, Washington, and we have some decent gyms here. I just train at a pretty basic one, kind of more like a YMCA type of a place, but there's definitely some cool ones. There's one in Coeur d'Alene that's part of the it's called the Kroc Center. It's like Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, like when he passed, he donated a lot of money to open these centers all over the nation, and Coeur d'Alene got one of them, and it's wild, man. It's like part amusement park, part gym. It's pretty cool. And yeah, I mean, I think you can get a membership for like $50 a month for your entire family.
What?
Yes. Can
Can you imagine? Gym's out here, the Good Life out here. I think I'm paying. I don't even use it. I just have it just in case I have a friend or something that wants to go. Or if I'm traveling, because it's all Canada. But I think it's like $87 Canadian a month.
Yeah.
It's just a rip. It just sucks. That's awesome, though. I mean, I remember Andrew mentioned on our coach's call that he had a client that he was going to meet soon. So there you go. That's
Yeah,
awesome.
I'm stoked.
Good for you, man. So, guys, what I wanted to talk to you about today, and I'm not going to talk your ear off too much. Well, maybe I will. It depends on if you guys talk back. Is strength and why I personally think it's something that nobody focuses on anymore. There's a lot of bro science out there. There's a lot of misunderstood. thoughts on what goes on in the gym, what goes on with our development, what goes on inside the muscles, that maybe I can, if I can contain the rambling to some kind of sensible direction, maybe I can get there. And we'll talk about how to bring it down to some articulable points that you guys can take into your training. So just so you know, to clear the nonsense right now, when I'm saying strength, I'm not, when I say strength, I'm not saying deadlift, I'm not saying squat, I'm not saying heavy bench press, I'm not saying powerlifting. Do you guys follow so far? I want to see lots of nods just so I make sure that I feel like I'm part of this group right now. Okay, so because the thing is that, would you guys all agree that when you say certain words, there's certain connotations in people's minds, right? So cardio, treadmill, strength, powerlifting, like you get these associations. And so people naturally start saying things and they'll start averting from certain things. Like if you say, hey, like do your cardio, people will automatically be like, I don't have time for a treadmill. I don't want to be on that. It's boring. No different than saying, hey, I want you to get strong. I don't want to deadlift anything heavy. I don't want to lift heavy weight. It's like, no. What we're talking about is the adaptive capacity of a muscle, right? So muscles contract under load. This is what we do. And then you progress that load. So I could save us all an hour just by stopping right there because that's it. But the nuance is in that thought. And understanding that what are we doing in the gym? What's the MI approach? What's the process? Why do we have these different kind of methods that we go through? Like Coach Andrew probably has a certain method he's going through with you. And it's like no other coach than the coach you're working with will know because of his relationship with you, right? And that's the whole beauty of this process. So in terms of strength, there's a couple of different things I want to clear up before we get into the topic. First off, the process of building muscle, hypertrophy. So that's why we're here, right, guys? We're all trying to get jacked. Can I get anonymous? Yeah. Like we're all doing that. Yeah. Okay, good. Because that's a good thing, right? Because a lot of people, there might be some mistaking of like thoughts there alone. And hopefully being an MI, there's not, but maybe there still is, right? Because there's so much information. And I would say about 95% of it's crap, right? On the internet, like you read so many things. And people are still using outdated terms and still using outdated information too, and they're guiding their decision-making process as such. So one of them, let's go for a couple, muscle damage. People think that muscles get damaged and then you repair the muscle that's damaged and it grows bigger muscle. That doesn't happen. Okay. Muscle damage is recovery. Muscle addition is hypertrophy. Okay. People think that you turn fat into muscle. That doesn't happen, right? That's a completely different types of tissue. Okay. So those two, I'm sure you guys have heard those ones. Yeah. Anonymous. Yeah. Or yeah. Okay. So like this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Even strength, people think that like to get strong would mean that you'd have to like err on the side of injury. Like, oh, I don't want to lift heavy weight, right? Well, here's the catch about being strong. It's all relative, right? It's all relative. Like you guys have all progressed, yes, in your gym so far, you've progressed. Would you not agree that like since you've been in the gym, since you've been working, maybe when you first started, I don't know, I can only speak for myself. It was hard when I first started to pick up 15 pounds. It wasn't easy. Like it was actually somewhat of a task, right? And then now, like it's easy for me to grab double that, right? And I'm sure it's probably the same for all you guys. Like when you first think the first weight you were bench pressing, now you probably can bench press double that or triple maybe, right?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Steve, when I first started working out, my max when I was like 15 years old was 115 pounds on bench press.
Beat me, man. Mine was the bar. I couldn't press the bar. It was empty. I remember being in the gym and I was pressing it. It was like, did that whole, like, it looked like I was in a canoe. And my friend was like, what's wrong? I'm like, I can't push it. Nothing I could do. I think my foot even flew up. And that, you know that one? Yeah. And then nothing I could do to get this weight up. And I remember telling him, I was like, dude, I feel like I could cut this thing in half and I still wouldn't be able to press it, you know? I wasn't striving for the two plate club. I was striving for the not an empty bar club. Like, can I put something not on it? Because again, like Ben always laughs when I tell him this because he's like, there's no way. But my diet was vanilla Coke. I smoked about a pack and a half of cigarettes every single day. And I was about 145 pounds. Now I am 225. And it's the exact opposite. And I have a
Yeah,
serious
I was
diet.
105'9", 135 pounds.
Oh,
And
so at
now
least I
I'm
beat
like
you there.
6 foot, I'm like 6 foot, 200 pounds now. So
Yeah.
like what's also humbling is when you have surgery, you have that rotator cuff surgery.
Oh, not fun.
And what's also humbling is, after lifting heavy weights, you have surgery on your shoulder and you're doing rehab and you come back and have just the bar and I'm going down way and it's excruciating pain. And then every week you go through that and you add 5 or 10 more pounds until you start getting back to normal. But yeah, it sucks.
But let's use this to run off of with the whole strength conversation, right? Like, what did I just say? We both started at this low weight, and then you're pressing more weight. Like, that's kind of the goal in the beginning, right? Like, everybody wants to bench press a plate, right? And again, I'm using the bench press as a thought. I'm not trying to say that's the goal for MI clients. I'm just trying to get you guys a thought in your mind. We want to bench press a plate, and then once you get to plate, what's the next goal? Two plates.
Two plates,
That's what us men think.
then three plates,
The absolute mental
then
comprehension
four
of
plates.
progress is like three, four, and then it gets what happens is then somewhere between some of us, it's after two, some of it's after three, but somewhere along those lines, you start not wanting to push heavy weight, and people start being like, well, how do I grow muscle without trying to push more weight? And this is where I think things get interesting, because if you look at the biggest people in the world, they didn't stop. That's just it. But what they've found is increasingly more difficult ways to do it. And this is where Ben's philosophy really, really shines, because he's talking about muscular contraction. He's talking about getting the muscle, be mindful of the whole session. So you can increase the efficacy of your work. And therefore, of course, you have to decrease the load, right? But I'm not sure how much you guys have heard or how many calls you've all been on. I'm sure if you've heard of him say specifically, if you can, you must, right? So if you can curl the 35, you got to do it. You can't just grab the 30 and be like, no, but I can squeeze it more. Like, loading a muscle is just simply getting a muscle into a lengthened position. And if you can stretch it, then it's our job to provide certain exercises that have unique resistance profiles to help you load that muscle efficiently, right? Or efficiently, sorry. So to go back on the whole strength conversation, to kind of go there without going off too much, the whole point I'm trying to elicit here is that when you're trying to pursue strength, the goal should be numerical, but it's not at the sacrifice of form, right? Because when we're looking at form, like, what is form? Because I've had this question a couple of times. I saw my client Nate pop on, and he had the question. It's a good question. I've had some people ask it numerous times over my life, which is that, like, should if I can get a couple more reps out and the form goes a little bit, is that worth it? So the reason why we have form is because form lets us load muscles, right? It lets us get into certain positions that advantageously load certain muscles at certain ranges. Whereas if we change that form, then we're no longer able to do that. Like, tension will go somewhere. A good analogy would be like a back squat. A person, you've all seen people in the back or back squat horribly, where they start bending over or they round their back, right? But their brain is thinking, I win because I went down, then I got back up. Right, so they accomplished the task, but because it's multi-joint, they moved other joints and other things rather than the knee joint or the hip joint, right? So they're thinking I got up, but they just moved from A to B. Being mindful is more like, I know I'm trying to move through my hip and my knee and my ankle, right? And trying to move these joints to contract the muscles under load, and that would be how to grow your quads. But the misconception here, or the thought that people rather just don't have, is that tension is going somewhere. And so you have to be thinking, is it going to the place I want? How do I know? Right. So if tension's not going to your quads in a squat and you're bending over, does anybody want to take a quick guess at where it's going? Just unmute yourself and shout it out. You all know the answer. Low back.
Low back.
There you go. You got it, Dave. Thank you. It's going to your low back, right? So low back is probably not a scalable muscle compared to your glutes, especially considering your glutes are like the biggest muscle in the human body. So knowing that, what do you think you're going to have as a bottleneck if you continue that pattern over the course of the next 10 years? You probably have either A, big ass spine erectors, right? And you have a thick core, right? Because you've been loading it the whole time. So you have seen muscular hypertrophy in that area, right? Or you're going to have a broken back. Because it won't scale, and then you'll have back injuries. And it's not the squat's fault. It's the fact that you didn't get strong in the quads because you weren't loading them. So this is the first place I'm going to pause. Do you guys have any questions about what I'm trying to allude to right now, or anything just this is popping up in your mind that you guys want to talk about? Because that's my whole point of this. I want to open up your minds to have a conversation about strength.
I've got a question,
Shoot, buddy.
Steve.
Shoot.
What's the like when you? I think it was on. I think it was maybe in the chat. I'm not really sure what when it popped up, but you talked about physical v muscle exhaustion, like more mental exhaustion, should I say. And how do you know if you're mentally fatigued or muscle fatigued at that current point? Like, say you're getting to your last rep, and you're like, you feel like you want to stop. And how do you differentiate between like psychological exhaustion and actual muscle exhaustion. Do you have any tips on
That's a good
that, and
question.
whether you use like a focus point, like when you're training, to like kind of distract yourself from that, or
Yeah, it's a
what?
good question, man. So here's the thing. Like, I actually have a weird belief on this that I actually don't think people are intentionally not working hard. I actually think everybody's pretty much working their level of hard, right? Would you all agree you guys are trying as hard as you can? I don't think you guys are going to the gym and not trying, right? Like, you're trying. So if we know that, then the biggest problem isn't about whether or not somebody's trying. It's about whether or not they have an ability to deal with more and more fatigue or stress. And here's a good thought. Like, picture this. You're in a supermarket or a superstore, a grocery store, and you see like a man or a woman, and they have like five kids. The kids are screaming. They have a cart. The one wheel on the cart's going blah, 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 like as they're driving this cart. The kid is kicking the other kid in the leg, and then food falls out of the cart. What do you think the stress level of that father or mother is going to be at?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's not low, right?
Trick question. Is it first kid or fourth kid? Your first time parent or do you have multiple kids? Because that's
this person, now imagine asking them during that stressful scenario to drop and give you 20 push-ups. What do you think they're gonna do? Do you think they're gonna be able to do the 20 push-ups, or do you think they're gonna be too distracted and they're gonna be too fatigued already, too stressed?
They're obviously going to be distracted, but again, it depends on if it's the first kid or the fourth kid.
Yeah, right. So I think the point I'm trying to th make you guys think is that we have this, we all have this ability to deal with a certain amount of stress, and that goes up just because it's just the same thing as anything else. Like, think of your guys' jobs you're in right now. Like, y'all have a career or a job or something that you do really, really well, I'm sure. And when you first started, I guarantee you were not as good as you are now, right? Right? The stuff you deal with on a daily basis, you can probably handle like 100% more than when you first started. A day in your life right now would drive the person who started probably essentially explode, right? Because it's just too much information. You've gotten better. So that's an example of you've increased your stress capacity. So it's the same thing. We all have this ability to deal with pain or sensation, and that sensational overload reaches its max whenever you're getting to the point where it's like, oh, that needle's rising and it's right here. So to answer your question, why this matters is because when you're saying, how do I know if it's psychological or if it's physical? I think it's both. I think it's the same thing. I think you're referring to the same thing, right? Because I think that if you look at the science also to back this argument, like your first exercise, would you be more able to go to the end or less able to go to the end, like in terms of a physiological exertion on the first exercise versus the last exercise of your day? Probably gonna do better on the first exercise, right? Right. So that means your mental capacity is still very high. Your ability to deal with, again, sensation and just like this pain and all the stuff that comes from the exercises, that is still at a very, very low because you haven't done with it yet. But after a couple, you've done squats, you've done walking lunges, you've done leg press, you're on the calf now. And then it says abs. What do? You go home. That's what your brain's saying. You're like, I'm leaving now. It says abs last for a reason. I think he meant go home. Because that's what happens. People start leaving those things, right? So to answer your question, I think that the answer is both, and you have to be paying attention to it. Now, to kind of go off of your question though, because it's very real, right? We all deal with it. That's why I make these jokes, because I don't think there's ever been a single person in the history of ever who hasn't either skipped calves or abs, right? Because it's at the end of your program. If it was first, you'd do it, but it's the end of your program, so you skip it. So what do we want to do to avert from the possibility of mental or physical fatigue being the actual problem? Because that's what we're really talking about, right? Fatigue. Track your workouts. Seriously, and it sounds so silly, but just track the weight you're using. Because if you are actually dealing with some kind of accumulated fatigue, right, then what's going to happen is you're going to see that reflect in your training. It's not about whether or not we want to or don't want to, because we've all done things we don't want to. We've all gone to our work when we haven't wanted to. We've all gone to see the in-laws when we haven't wanted to, right? We all do that. So like, if you just track your weights, and let's just say you're doing bench press tomorrow, and you're like, I'm just so tired and I feel like I'm mentally spaced out there. Well, what did last week say? It said you did 100 pounds for five. How much did you do today? You're like, I did seven. You progressed, man. Right? You progressed. So no harm, no foul. Keep going, right? I
It also depends
think
how much sleep you have too, right? It
Huh?
also depends on sleep.
Everything.
Honestly, if you have and if your body's ready for it.
So recovery is a completely different conversation, man. And I think that that's also nuanced, and it can be like a whole hour unto itself. If I was to touch recovery for just one second without getting alluded from the strength conversation, guys, I would say don't overthink it. There's so many people right now who think they can just go get themselves like a cold tub or a red light therapy and then they're better. It's like, no, use your progress as a method for recovery. So meaning like if you're not progressing, you're not recovering, look at it like that. Okay? Look at it like that. But into strength, the thought I want you guys to have again is that we all have to have some kind of metric. So the process of building muscle is super simple. If I can give you one piece of information that I want you to all have in your minds from here on out, every single one of you, okay, is if you are looking and if you're in a position, you have the ability, you have the skill and the capacity to build muscle, then you must be able to go to the point where you have an unintentional rep slowdown. Okay. I'm going to pause right there. Do you guys understand what that means? Okay. Unintentional rep slowdown. Okay. So I want
Yes.
you guys to picture a leg press. Picture somebody pushing a leg press. Okay. Racks it. It's hard. Heavy. Did he have any rep slowdown? Okay. As far as you're concerned, no reps were made today. Okay. You exercised, you moved some blood, you burnt some calories, but you didn't build muscle, right? Without knowing it, I just touched on another topic. It's also some like a little segue, burning calories. I want you guys to get rid of that from your mind. Okay. It's a cool little metric you can have, especially when it comes down to burning like fat and trying to trim up. But if you guys are going into a workout and you are trying to burn calories as the main goal, you're probably not working as hard as you think you could, or that you could if you are trying to burn calories because the intention is different, right? I want you to go in and I want you to think about taking an exercise to the point where you have an unintentional rep slowdown. Okay. Do you guys know what that means? Do you really understand that? Can you guys picture it? Picture an exercise right now. I want you to picture two different exercises and I want to talk about this for a second. I want you guys to think about an exercise that would be really, really hard to do in. Okay. When you think about it, unmute yourself and tell me what you thought. Tell me the exercise.
Ladder curls.
Okay. What else? Spider curls are a great one.
Bench, obviously.
Don't know. I think bench is an easy one, but it's a good opportunity to explore it, right? What else? Somebody other than
Hack squats.
Jay's chatty Cathy today. So who else?
Hack squats.
Hack squats, you find it hard to go slow on? Like in terms of you feel like you wouldn't be able to get a slow concentric?
When I'm fatigued, yes.
Okay. Perfect. That's what I want to know. Okay, who else? One that's hard for me is lateral raises. I find it really, really difficult to get a slow concentric on the lateral raise. And so if you notice all of the ones, well, other than the hack squat, because the hack squat's an interesting one. But other than the hack squat, all the ones that were mentioned were a shortened position where the maximum tension was on the shortened position of the muscle, right? So you got like a lateral raise, like the dumbbell, if it's just hanging right here, like down, there's no weight here. We could all hold 100 pounds in one arm and just hold it there, right? So there's no weight on the muscle. But the second I start lifting, it's like, right? It gets harder. And then as you're getting it higher, it gets away from your body. Goes that way. So the further it gets away, it's not 5 pounds or 10 pounds anymore. It's adding weight as it goes up, right? Does that make sense? So you're basically changing the moment arm and you're also changing the resistance profile to make it heaviest in the shortened position of the delt. So that's a really, really hard motion to go slow on the contraction because when you're tired, you just be like, ah! You just won't be able to lift it anymore. It just won't go, right? Would you guys agree? Right. So spider curls, if you've ever done that, it's like you're hanging from a bench and you're contracting like that. Same kind of idea. You're not going to be able to get a really good contraction when you start getting tired because, again, all the weight is on the peak of the bicep when it's heavy. So meaning it's not heavy until it is. And then when it is, the bicep has to contract maximum. So it's not going to be strong. Hack squat's an interesting one because it's actually a lengthened position. So if you're feeling like that, man, what I would suggest you do is look at your pelvis stability because it could have something to do with it. A lot of times when it comes down to lengthened positions pull on the origin a lot more and they tend to be a lot more demanding for stability. It's why they're hard. Any lengthened position is hard. Think of it. Incline dumbbell curl. When you're lying back and curling like that, Like they're great, but who likes them? Like they're hard, right? Those are hard. What else?
Okay.
Dumbbell chest flies. Like, go ahead.
I struggle with the dumbbell row.
Dumbbell row.
I feel like if there was any tips on that, that would probably help me because I really struggle with engaging the lat at times with dumbbell row.
Yeah, so think about what your lat does. Do you guys all know what your lat does? It's an internal rotator, right? It also is a spinal extensor, and then it's going to help and assist with the scapula in terms of external rotation in the lengthened position. So if you think about that, like if you guys all can do this, just point your elbow towards the floor. Just I know it sounds silly, but just try it. If you guys ever have, if you want to build bigger lats, just turn your elbow towards the floor like you're turning a doorknob, right? And then I want you to push your shoulder blade forward. Push it forward until you find a muscle right there underneath your armpit that you feel fire. You got that? Can you guys get that? And then now drag it down, push your shoulder. You feel it? Okay, so there's your lat. Okay, so the thing is, what direction is that going? It's going down your body right now. So in order to get some kind of force on that, you'd have to be pulling from a higher position. The reason why the dumbbell row is typically hard to engage your lats on is because the lats aren't running down in a dumbbell row, they're running back because you're bent over, right? When we're holding a dumbbell, what direction does it want to go? A dumbbell just wants to go to the floor, right? So physics is just going to say it's going to try to pull your arm to the ground. When you're doing a dumbbell row, though, you're trying to manipulate that and borrow tension and try to drag it towards your hip. So you're trying to use the lats to do a dragging motion. So it's not a bad exercise, but it's more nuanced. A lot of people have a hard time with that. What I would suggest you do is to practice. You know, like the V grip bar, like that bar for like a lat pull down, use that. And instead of being like here and pulling down, lean back and you'll have a more open angle here. Protract, do that trick I showed you, like that, and then just drag down like that. Lean back, do that. And that's going to be a really good one to help you build like the connection with the lats. I showed that to my client, Nate. Remember Nate in Costa Rica? And that was one of the first things that you were like, oh, how did I not know this? Right? And then ever since then, your lats have been blowing up because then once you feel it, then you understand the sensation you're looking for in other lat exercises. Make sense? You know what's funny? The dumbbell row is actually kind of an interesting one because I think that they're an amazing exercise. I just think, I don't want to say shit because they're a great lat exercise. They actually are, but they're just such a nuanced exercise that the way that people typically do them or do them for the wrong reasons, that then they become a shit exercise. Because I think that they should be more for like learning how to move the shoulder independently from the spine. So we got our spine here, and then we need to be able to like move the shoulders. Like, can you do that? Can you actually protract, retract without being like, oh, like that? And you can do it with a dumbbell where it's not like pulling you. Like, how many people do you see that they're literally starting a mower and their whole rib cage torques and rotates, right? When you're doing it, try to think about moving through the shoulder blade and then just externally rotating through that upper arm and then dragging it towards the pelvis. But this doesn't move. This stays here. Like it's like you got laser beams on your nipples and you're pointing them straight and you're like, they're not moving. Does that make sense? Try it out, man. So yeah, so I'm gonna pause there for more seconds because I saw some of the people in there. Nate, I didn't know you're there, buddy. How's it going?
Going good.
Things going good? You getting jacked?
Trying to, yeah. Yeah, just finished eating my meal,
Good for you, man.
fourth, third meal. And I forget which one it was, but yeah.
Dude, I was thinking about you today because I was thinking about how they're all in Spain right now and I'm not. And then obviously last muscle camp you were there, right?
Yep.
Who out of the call right now? Do you guys want to just show of hands? You guys interested in ever going to a camp? Yeah, you guys have interest? Yeah. Just because, like, I know, well, Nate, you've given your testimony a couple times on it, but like, I know that they're awesome. They're so cool. I know it's also hard though to get away for a lot of us family guys. It can be really tough, but if you guys can swing it, I know that they're playing another one. I think the next one they planned on what it was it in the Telegram group? Was it Costa Rica? But the next one? Do you know, Nate? You don't know?
I thought it was Costa Rica. I don't know. I don't know for sure though.
I wasn't sure if they were because I know Ben had mentioned another one. Anyways, I'm just not in the Telegram group that often. That's all. But yeah, if you guys do get a chance, definitely try to figure that out because it is an amazing time. You'll have a great time. You'll take your training to the next level. Who was it? Sorry, I missed your name. Dez. That right there, man, like the question you asked, like we spend like a day. I think we spent one day, Nate, on like it was it like lats, shoulders, tricep, or it was basically arms, right? Anything attaching to the arm. And that was one of the things we took care of. Was
Yeah,
essentially that.
kind of wish that Marbella. I wish I'd been part of the program a little bit longer when the Marbella trip came on, because I've only been here a month. So Marbella is only probably like a 2-3 hour flight from where I am. So that would have
Oh.
been perfect. So hopefully it's in Europe next year, and then I'll probably hop on a plane and go to the one next year for sure.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. But yeah, so the reason why I wanted to have this conversation about strength, guys, if nobody wants to pop on and if they have other questions, and again, if you do, just unmute yourself, is that I find that have like, now that you guys know the information I was trying to, start with, I find a lot of people get to that point where they wanted to progress strength and then they stop. And it's not, I don't think for any it's not for any undue reasons. Like they're very real reasons. Either they either had a tweak, they start building up any issues. Young and dumb people, like 19-year-olds. There's a world record holder in the he did a clean and jerk last year. It's like 19, and he's like Bulgarian, 475 pounds or something. The only reason I swear this kid can do that is because he doesn't know he's going to die one day. Like that's it. Like his mortality has not set in with him. If he understood what death and pain was, probably would never try that. So like these things become very real, and then they start making us more realize, like, we're mortals, we can't lift this heavy. Oh my God. So when it comes to strength, what I want you guys to think of is that progression, there should be some progression to your plan. So progressive overload. Like when you guys think of progressive overload, what do you guys think of? Just spiral off again. What do you guys think when I say that phrase, progressive overload? It's got to be somebody who knows that term. You
More
guys,
weight, adding
more
more
weight,
weight,
adding more
more
weight,
volume.
more volume. What else? Anybody else? Anything else that different? Is that pretty much it? More weight, and more volume. So a lot of people think that there's like different parameters in terms of more sets for that one, and more volume within one set can be, right? Because if you're adding reps, that's a sign of progress. The thing about progress is it always should happen. But in the beginning, it's like this, right? Like you go from like, I haven't worked out and I can only curl 5 pounds, and the next week it's 15 pounds. That's a, what is that, 150% increase. And then it's I can curl 20 pounds, then 30, and then it does this and it starts doing this, but it's still going up. And then what'll happen is a person after 15 years, anybody who's been working out for a while, it's like you're still making progress, but like the progress is like, I did shoulder presses the other day with the hundreds. Instead of making five, I made six. And then you hold the six for 2 weeks, and then you made seven, right? And that's still progress. You will have stagnating points. That's not a plateau, right? There is also other parameters that you can progress. This isn't progressive overload, but like, you're getting more comfortable in your range of motion. These things matter. And these things are all strength. That is strength of a muscle. Because what does a muscle do? Like a weak muscle hurts. A weak muscle is restricted. It's hypertonic. A strong muscle is a long muscle. A strong muscle has access to full range. Okay. That's a strength increase. So in the beginning, one of the best strength increases you can actually have is having more mobility added to your body. That is a truth, 100%. If you need any evidence for it, go look at somebody who has a crappy chest and they all stand like this. And then they'll also tell you that they have to get their pec minor massaged all the time. Always the pec minor, because the pec minor is an internal rotator that pulls the shoulder forward here. And it's not their fault. This is what happens is that pec minor gets stupid tight because the shoulder's rolled forward, right? So when we're trying to get muscles stronger, we want to get them long and open. And then it's like, oh, I feel good. That's what happens. You walk away from a chiropractor appointment, you're like, yeah, I want to roll my shoulders a couple times. It feels good. So when it comes down to strength, we have, again, the physical adaptation of range of motion and mobility being added. We have muscular endurance, that's a component. And then we have two different fiber types. That's kind of an interesting conversation that maybe, if it's something you guys haven't heard, maybe it's something you guys can think about in your training as well. We have the growth, we have sarcoplasmic, and we have something called myofibrillar hypertrophy, right? Sarcoplasmic, I want you guys just for, sake of saving us 30 minutes of education. I want you guys to think of a balloon, okay? And I want you to think of a balloon, and then somebody threw a bunch of strands of spaghetti in the balloon, okay? And those strands of spaghetti are like the myofibrils, okay? Those are like the strands of muscle, okay? And then somebody also is filling the balloon with water, and that will be like the sarcoplasm, okay? So people think that you can do both, or you can do them individually rather. a lot of research now is basically saying you're going to cap out on the sarcoplasmic hypertrophy a long time ago, and any gains beyond that are very, very minimal. Any progress you want to be making, if you are in any sense a trained individual, has to be on the fast twitch fibers, okay? Meaning you have to be leveraging myofibrillar hypertrophy, okay? So, you guys with me so far? Some new terms there you might not have been privy to before. You guys all with me? Thumbs up, yeah? Okay, so basically meaning that if we're trying to leverage the volume train, not saying more reps in one set is a bad thing, not saying that at all. But thinking I should do four sets instead of three, or I should do five instead of four, or I should be there for 2 hours instead of one, right? Then that's simply not the answer, because the way that we get more ad the addition of more myofibrils or the splitting of myofibrils is by getting stronger. Okay, so how do we get stronger? We get the adaptation. The signal comes from getting the muscle under load, mechanical tension. Okay, everybody flex. Flex your bicep. Give me a bicep pose. Okay, you guys are now achieving mechanical tension. Thank God. Okay, so you're doing that part. If you're squeezing really hard, you're like, there it is. Okay, but you got no load, right? So load and the effort accumulated with it is what we would call force. Okay, that force has to be pushed against the muscle when you're trying to contract it. Okay, so you can just go like that and try to pull your arm in, but there's no force. Does that make sense? I'm pulling air. Okay, I can squeeze as hard as I want, but there's nothing going along with it. I have to have an opposing force the other way, trying to resist that from me, so that I'm going to shut you up, so that I can actually achieve mechanical tension that would stimulate the muscle to grow. Does that make sense to you guys? So how do you know you're there in a set? I said it a long time ago. Anybody want to take a jab? How do you know you're at the point in your set where you can promise yourself you're doing your job today in the gym to grow muscle?
You're moving
Unintentional.
slow, less reps. From the rep, you're going slow because you can't do anymore.
Maybe. You're probably going to be there soon, I hope. But that might come down to Des's question earlier. If you can't do anymore, I don't know what that looks like, right? You might not be doing more just because you're tired. You might not be doing more just because you might be mentally fatigued, or maybe you had a hard day at work, right? There's a lot of questions to that. So how do we know what those last reps look like? Guys know the answer. What did I say? Unintentional rep slowdown, right? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for unintentional rep slowdown, meaning we're not trying to go slower, okay? You got it, man. There you go. So with that, why I'm really, really highlighting the unintentional part is because in the beginning of a lot of MI programming, we say go slow intentionally. And that actually will, if you're doing it later, downregulate your ability to develop muscle. That's a fact. Okay. So why do we say do it? Why does anybody want to pop off quickly and say, give me an answer or give me some kind of justification as to why we might tell you to go slow?
Be in control of the movement.
Love it. What else?
Time under tension.
Good. What else? Love.
Have to develop the mind-muscle connection.
Perfect. What else? Keep going, guys.
Prevent injury.
Yeah. Awesome. What else? Keep going. There's a million other ones. Like you guys have them. Keep going.
Skill acquisition.
Yeah. Love it. Okay, so there's enough. If you guys have any more, just put them in the chat. Like, let's go off the last one, skill acquisition. If you don't have a proper skill and emotion, then you might be able to handle that at a low percentage. But the second you get to the maximal loads, it's going to crap, right? So again, training a muscle, what is it? We attach tension to a muscle and then take it through its full load, okay? And then we go to the point of involuntary slowdown, right? And just so you guys know, there's also a small little asterisk there. And this is always a hard pill to swallow. It giving up is always conscious. It's a hard pill to swallow for me. It's a hard pill to swallow for you. It's going to be for the rest of your life. So to get used to it, it's your fault. You did it. You racked the weight. Okay. So everybody has to realize that. I'm not saying you had one more. I know I don't have one more, but the thing is that, like, I'm pretty sure if somebody came over and said, do one more and I'll give you $1 million right now, I probably would have one more. Right? Wouldn't you all? Like, magically, you're like, yeah, I have one more. You guys see the new Batman movie? the very, very end of the Batman movie, he injects himself with some adrenaline, then he could beat the crap out of the guy. That's like what happens when you suddenly have a purpose. You're like, oh, I have one more now. Like Ben walks up behind you, you're in the middle of your workout, and then he walks up behind you, and you didn't know he's there. He's like, come on, keep going. You're gonna keep going. If you guys want to see a video on that, watch. There's try to it's on YouTube, and it was like somebody's leg pressing. Do you guys know who Tom Platz is? You better know who Tom Platz is. I don't even think you're allowed in this program unless you know who Tom Platz is. Tom Platz was like, Mr. Legendary Legs. If you don't know who he is, Google him right now if you're on a computer, just so you can understand the relevance. Okay, Tom Platz.
Did you
Anyways.
see Tom Platt's new you see his new post on Instagram? He's like 65 years old with like
He
jacked
still has
legs.
big quads. Yeah.
Oh,
So
absolutely jacked.
in this gym, there's a guy who is leg pressing, right? And this guy's just leg pressing and he gets tired. He's getting a little tired. And then Tom Platz walks out of the back and he didn't know he was there. And he turns to me, he's like, come on, five more, five more. And the guy's like, oh. And he starts just pressing. He does like 110 reps. Like he probably died the next day. Like I'm laughing, but the guy probably was deceased. It's like he wouldn't live through that. But anyways, the point is that like you always have more. So we have to understand that the voluntary involuntary slowdown will eventually still lead to us reaching our task failure. Okay? So try to get away from muscular failure. Think about it as task failure, because if you're actually failing due to the task, then we are at least in some kind of agreement with ourselves that it wasn't something that came over us. It was like, no, I just that's my level of exertion that I can do today. So how do we up that, right? And that's why when you start thinking like this, you'd be like, oh, so that's why the MI coaches are talking about eliminating bottlenecks. That's why we're talking about getting your cardio up. That's why we're talking about things like if your greatest stress in the day isn't your workout, you're not making progress. Because if we're talking about getting to the point of involuntary rep slowdown, and you go to the gym, and before you went to the gym, you fought with your wife, or you got in a car accident, or your job sucks and you hate it and you're stressed out, are you going to take yourself to that level? Probably not. Like, that's the sad truth. Probably not. And I'll be the first one to admit it, man. Like I've been like at that point so many times, and I'll just be like, today's my rest day. That's what I'm doing. Today's my rest day. I'm going to bed early. I'm going to capitalize on recovery today. I'm working out tomorrow morning. Like, because you get to the point in your training age, right? Training age, like time spent, knowing that if I take 7 hours, my muscles do not disappear. I'm okay. I can train in the morning. Nothing. Nate, you're laughing because you realize it's like, yeah, when you're young and dumb, you actually think that that will happen somehow. You're like, oh, no, you have to train right now. Something will happen if I don't. And so, no, you're okay. It's okay. You can take a day off, go in tomorrow when you actually can do some damage. Because if you're not doing that, then what you have to realize, if you're not actually getting yourself to that point with muscular contractions, then what you're doing is you're going and you're practicing fitness. That's cool. Practicing fitness is great. More people need to do it. But we need to be conscious so that we're not thinking, hey, where are my results from practicing fitness? Right? Well, your results, go test your blood pressure. I'm sure it's fine. That's your results, right? You're a healthy individual. You look great. You're in shape. Good job, right? But if you want to get bigger muscles, you got to challenge them. And when you challenge them, the progressive overload approach, like was said earlier, I think it was from you, Richard, was that basically you're adding reps, you're adding some volume to those, sorry, you're adding weight or you're adding some volume to those sets. Right. And that means you're progressing. And if you're doing it under the same constraints that you've established in the exercise, so you're saying in my hack squat, I am bringing my glutes to my hamstrings every single rep with this weight. And I'm establishing that as like, that's the zone. I'm going to make sure I go there every single time. So I can't have a rep variance. Right. And if I can overload that, if I can get more weight on it, if I can get more reps on it, I will have bigger quads. And if anybody doesn't want to believe that, I would encourage any of you and anybody in the world to go find somebody who can only hack squat a 25 a side, or somebody who can hack squat 745s a side, and let's see the guy who has bigger quads. This is going to be the guy who you can do more weight. It's never not going to be, right? And that's so what I'm trying to finish off with is that I think we all need to kind of just be like, hey, we're doing this still, right? We're still trying to lift heavier weight. We're Ollie Coleman, right? And nobody wants to lift any heavy ass weight. That's what we're trying to do. It's just that we need to understand it's not in an unconventional sense. It's not in an uncontrolled sense. That's why we give the cues of trying to go slow and squeeze, so you understand what you're still trying to do. So that when you're doing a bicep curl, it doesn't just turn into your like a full body dry heave, but you're still pursuing strength, right? Okay. So I'm going to pause there. I have one last thing to say that shouldn't take too long that I want you guys to kind of think about in terms of progressing. But anybody have any questions from that right there? Been chatting a lot. I'm sure you have something. Anybody, go for it. Guys like my tea bowl? Okay. So last thing was understanding periodization. So I mentioned about capitalizing on the fast twitch muscle fiber growth. And that's the whole point of trying to grow strength and therefore muscle size. It's important to understand that if we look at strength, there will be a neurological adaptation, right? You guys ever heard of muscle memory? Heard that phrase? It's a two-parted thing, right? So there's obviously the physiological, there's the neurological. So neurological is actually more relevant because they've proven that if you take time off the gym, your neurological display of strength, it doesn't go away for something like 6 to 8 months. So what you guys should take from that is if you take time off, don't kill yourself when you return because you will be undertrained, but you still can do damage. Whereas somebody who's going in for the first time, they can't do damage because they're weak. Does that make sense? But for you guys, like you built strength, and a lot of that strength will be neurological, so it won't go away. But the physiological is the muscle size, and that will go away. So if there's a lot of natural athletes on this call right now, it's one of those things. Muscle wasting becomes a very big issue, right? One second, I'm just gonna read this question. Yeah, so that's what I was actually going into, right? So no, strength adaptations. Think of it like this. Strength adaptations will always occur as long as you can get to involuntary rep slowdown. But now I want you guys to think about the set. And if you can visualize it, just visualize it in your mind now. Think of the guy. I like to think of this guy. I've joked around with my clients a couple times. He runs on the treadmill profusely. He, for some reason, always wears an oversized basketball jersey. He's probably bald. He has like a big tech watch on and he wears really high socks. That guy, I'm pretty sure he goes to every gym, right? And he sweats too much. That guy, okay? When he's doing his rows and he's doing sets of 30, is he slowing down or is he just sweating and breathing too much? That's why he's stopping.
Freeway, 42 minutes, huh?
Forty-two
Right?
minutes. Is there another way?
I'm muting you. You got muted. What I'm trying to say is like this guy is probably stopping for the wrong reasons, right? So he's probably stopping because it's just too much work. Again, oh my God, I'm dead. So if you look at a set to like 30 reps, you probably won't get to the point where you're actually achieving that much tension and muscle fatigue. It's probably there's too much pain. You've built up too much lactate, right? The metabolites are going crazy. You can't feel it. Pain sensations through the roof. So therefore you stop, right? The point is you'd have to go a lot further to actually achieve mechanical tension. Okay. And on top of that, too, think about the speed of the majority of the reps in a higher rep set. I would say any set that's higher than 12, think of the speed for the majority of the reps. Would you guys not all agree they're pretty fast? Yeah. Like you could roll like that for like at least 10 out of 12 reps, right? Now think of this. Imagine you're in the same row, same exercise, but I say do five. The most you can do for five. They're probably all slow as hell, right? Like if you tried to go slow on a set of five, it won't move. You have to go 100% exertion, otherwise it's going to stay right there. Does that make sense? So to answer the question, but is there a, what was the exact wording of the question? Can somebody read it off to me if you see it? I had to open my chat. Is there a specific rep range where strength adaptation works best? So to bring that in, it's not that there's a specific rep range. It's just that to be smart and not waste your life in the gym, if you're doing 30, you'd get so much less back from a set of 30 that it would be advantageous to stick between the 4 and 8 category. Because that way you're at least guaranteeing yourself as minimal junk volume as possible, junk volume being any rep that's just like this, because those are just the reps that you're trying to get through to get to the reps that slow down, right? Because that was the picture I tried to paint for you guys. You guys are in the gym now to try to get reps that go involuntarily slow, okay, with perfect form. So if you're there, any rep that's not doing that, it's useless. So it's junk volume, okay? Does that make sense? Collective nod, yeah? Okay. So if we're doing that, then it becomes like disadvantageous to go, I would say above 8, just because not saying it's not useful. It's useful for other reasons, but you're not going to get the same kind of strength adaptation as quick. Whereas if you're doing like 5, it's pretty much perfect. 5 seems to be perfect. And that way it's also manageable, because if you've ever done a hard set of 5 in a bodybuilding realm, it's pretty manageable, but it's just full exertion. Like it's full tilt right away, and you can do it with anything basically. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay. So to close off in terms of programming, and in terms of like the progressing here, when you are doing like lower reps, you are capitalizing more on neurological adaptations, right? So your body is either, hey, forming the connectivity in terms of you're actually increasing your ability to contract and recruit more motor units. So think of like motor units, like you're trying the ability to contract a more amount of like a higher degree of density of the muscle. Okay. So you can actually contract more. I think there's a study on Olympic weightlifting that out of all the athletes, Olympic weightlifting, I think sprinters are up there as well, had the highest amount of motor unit recruitment. There was not a sport that really hadn't had more than that, because they just have such an ability to create massive power. Like Liu Zhaojun, who has like a world record in the snatch, he did like a snatch of like 400 and some odd 50 pounds. If you guys ever seen that, just Google Liu Zhaojun snatch. And like, he was like 145 pounds. Stupid. Like, how the hell did he do that? Basically, it's throwing it over your head and catching it in one smooth move. The only reason why you can do that is because you have an amazing ability to create exertion like that with your muscles, right? So motor unit recruitment. Now, people are like, well, why does that matter to me? I'm trying to grow muscles. Well, here's why. Because if you have low motor unit recruitment, what happens is when you're contracting that bicep of yours, you actually are contracting like 7 strands of 20,000. And then you're like, why aren't my biceps growing? You're like, well, they are, but you're going to grow 7 of them. So let's try to grow 1,000 instead of 7, right? And then you'll see accelerated growth, right? So that's why strength becomes really, really, again, advantageous as a thing to pursue when you've been training for at least a little bit that you can call yourself not a novice. Because then you know you've pretty much capped out on your newbie gains. And you're saying, that stuff over there, I've done what I can with it, like slow twitch development, sarcoplasmic development, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty much done. Your biggest advantage now is to try to grow fast twitch fibers, which means I need to get strong. But again, strong doesn't mean powerlifting. It just means strong in the muscle. Get into a stable environment. And this is really big too, because this has actually shown more recruitment. Just, you know, if you get stable, what can happen? It's like if you can push a car uphill on ice or on pavement, who's going to be more successful? Pavement, right? Because you're not slipping, so you're more stable. So stability is always going to govern more contraction. Okay, so if you can get yourself really stable and contract really hard, you'll upregulate your ability to recruit motor units. Now you take this full circle, and then in terms of phasing, we go to the next phase. Now you've built this massive ability to contract motor units. Your neurological adaptations have grown, and then now you go into hypertrophy, where maybe you're doing not 5, but you're doing, I don't know, 6 to 10 reps as your biggest kind of idea. And you're going to failure, not really leaving much in the tank anymore, right? You're going to failure. Then you're going to be growing that much muscle now because you're actually recruiting it. Does that make sense? Okay. And this is why we do it in phases. We do it in phases. You keep on doing that as a period, periodization, because that way you're like, okay, my first strength training period, I only got this strong, but you can still contract more. Now I'm trying to grow it. And then you go again, I contract more. Now I'm trying to grow it. And that's why we get stronger. You make that adaption and you keep going. Does that make sense, guys? Okay. So I want you guys to ask some questions. Do you have any questions? Because that's all I got for you on that. Dez is a partial rep. Play a part in training. So yeah, man. So partials are great. When it comes down to partials, the thing you want to be thinking about is fatigue. This is kind of an interesting topic too. That is, again, a different call. Fatigue management is kind of interesting as like a more advanced athlete, because you want to be thinking like this. Okay, think leg day. Okay, think you got leg extensions, you got squats, you got lunges, you got leg press, you got hack squats. Your trainer for some reason just said do every exercise in the damn gym, and let's just say you do leg extensions first and you do partials. So might have sound awesome and badass then, right? Like you're like, yeah, but now you got to do squats. So is your effective your efficacy in the squats gone up or down because you did partials and the leg extension? So do you see why it's not necessarily beneficial, right?
I was kind of more meaning it like once you're at the end of like a set and like, say you've got like 10 reps to do and you get to 9 and you feel that you struggle to get the 10th out, is like a partial rep.
It's the same thing though, right? Meaning like if you're done, you're done. If you actually can't contract it anymore and you know that and you're governing that by rep slowdown, Like, I can't contract, because a lot of people go, ugh, and then they just stop. It's like, no, fight it. Sit there and fight it. And if you can't fight it, then you're done. Doing additional partials, I'm not trying to say it's not bad. And the amount of fatigue, it's not like you're throwing yourself into the ditch, but it's probably not to the point where you're so like, if I would have done it, I would have woken up tomorrow with Ben's quads. Probably not. Right? It's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're going to get a little bit more stimulus, but it's probably going to take away from the stimulus from the squats you're doing next, because then you'll be more tired from the squats. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay. Do you have to have unintentional slot on every single set? So yeah, good question, man. Because when it comes down to leaving reps in reserves, probably not. But if it comes down to trying to be training effectively in short amount of time, probably. So if you're doing like, you guys all know Dorian Yates, even Ben trains like this. I train like this. I don't do many working sets. I often just do one working set. But that's because as you do advance in your training age, you probably will get stronger and it's going to tax you more and you'll do more muscle damage. Muscle damage is always going to come with really hard training, right? And again, what I say in the beginning, muscle damage doesn't grow muscle. Hypertrophy is the stimulus, right? That's what it is. So if you do muscle damage, your body's going to have to fix that before it grows you. So if you're doing muscle damage, more volume is going to be creating more muscle damage. And the thought behind this is that if you actually are doing unintentional rep slowdown with every single set, you're accumulating more fatigue. So that's going up. Your body has to recover from that. Not only that, but you're also, again, you're trying to think, how do I set up this whole workout for success? That if I have multiple different body parts where I'm trying to target and get effective reps on, again, the key is effective reps. If you're going to unintentional slowdown, like really, really, really ballsy sets every single set, I would be hard pressed to think you can keep it up for more than four exercises. Does that make sense, Antonio?
Yeah, got it.
That makes sense, yeah?
Yeah.
So the whole point is like, you're trying to think, how do I set this up for success so you can make sure that you're at this point that you can actually be like, hey, I did my exercise here. Let's just say it's arm day. And you're like, I did my hammer curls for the brachialis. Perfect. I know I did the job because I went to one failure set, or I did three sets. And maybe for the first two sets, you left one or two in reserve, but then your last set, then it's balls to the wall. Right. Right. And then what happens is because you did that only there, then you have the next set where you're actually doing a bicep. And then you're like, okay, I'm doing the same thing here. Right. A good approach I've found is just if you do that, again, if you're doing multiple sets, leave a couple reps in reserve or do one balls out set. But when you do balls out sets, you have to be making sure you're really good at it, because if you're really good at it, you got one chance, right? And if you start being like, and you start like not doing them properly, it's like you're done, right? And you do see that with undertrained people. So it's kind of one of those questions where it depends on the person. Make sense? This help, guys? This wasn't too much information for you. Did this help? I find this stuff really, really interesting, by the way, if you can't tell by how I talk about it. I think it's really cool. I think it's really cool because what I get from it, not only as a coach, but also as like, again, I work out all the time, is that like, I like to have a mission in the gym, right? I like to have an intention that can give me an understanding that I did my job today, right? Because I think in this world where things, thanks, man, where people are like, everything's so subjective, right? Everything's so subjective in the sense that people are like, well, I don't really know why I'm not getting results. I have this lagging muscle group, or it must just be my genetics or this, or I'm doing everything. Like I'm eating, I'm sleeping, I'm doing everything, but I'm not seeing results. Well, this is going to give you something that you guys can all take away tomorrow. And what you're going to do, hopefully go to your next workout. And I want you to do something. This is your takeaway homework. Okay. I want every single one of you guys, you can share it with your coach or you don't have to, but every single one of you guys, I want you to film an exercise, the last set of an exercise that you feel supremely confident in. Okay. Has to be something that you feel you're really good in. Okay. And I want you to film it. And when you film it, I want you to watch it back and see if you got rep slowdown, because you might be humbled. Sometimes you're like, I swear I did. And you look back and you're like, damn it. Cause like, it was just so hard and it felt hard and you probably were working your ass off, but you're like, are you kidding? Like I've watched some of my hardest leg press sets and it's like racked. I'm like, are you? Because I could have sworn the last rep was like, and you feel like your legs are shaking, but you watch it back and nothing even happened. You're like, you totally had five more. It's like, wow, that's crazy stuff, right? So that's why we talk about these kind of things. Because if that's something, then we have to be learning how to get back into the zone, or it could be an opportunity to do more volume, right? Because if you're not getting that slowdown, you probably can do at least one more set then, right? Okay, so that's you guys' homework. Do that, and if you want to report to your coach, do it. But if you can, message me about it in the very least. I'd like to hear about it because it's pretty interesting, and this alone should help you guys all take your training to the next level. Thumbs up. Good. You guys are going to all do it? Yeah? Okay. Awesome, guys. If that's it, guys, go enjoy your night. Thanks for letting me rant to you. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay, guys. Have a good night, okay?
You too, man.